All right, good morning, everybody. I know it doesn't look like our usual studio, right? Monday. I'll tell you one thing. Getting here now, it is light outside. So 5:30 in the morning feels pretty good. I know this is the most freezing weekend, and I don't know about you, but you probably ended up in about 200 conversations about the weather, which is always the most boring thing ever. But it is a pretty bizarre occurrence to have people stuck in Finrennan's Pass in snow. It boggles my mind, and I can't think of anything worse than imagine being trapped in your car like some of those people were. I know there was one guy who died in a taxi. Just the most unconventional thing. So I got back from our trip to Bulgaria on Saturday morning at about 10, and I got off the plane and I was like, got off the plane. I was like, what the hell is this? It was 9 degrees. There was this really chill feeling in the air. It was horrible. And I thought, I've just left Europe, which is about like 1 month shy of winter, and European winter is not pleasant. I suddenly thought, shit, what's happened? Have we like swapped hemispheres? Have we finally done that massive magnetic shift that everyone was talking about in conspiracy theories? Anyway, got here. And by the way, I was on the plane at the same time as that felon, that guy that they've extradited from the UK. So the whole group that we were with on this trip, it was the weirdest thing. There were border security people on the gangway out of the airplane. So we literally walked off the plane, and there were these guys in like green uniforms that were standing at the entrance to the plane. I thought, what crap is this now? You know, the DA have taken home affairs over. I thought, oh God, more fucking bureaucracy. But it turns out it was because of this guy, this Lomas chap who worked for Eskom for a while and was like heavily involved in skullduggery of all kinds. So we were trying to figure out what was going on. And someone who I know, who was in the group that we went to Bulgaria with, actually ended up sitting next to him on the plane. And she knew something was amiss because they kept saying to her, there's this man coming sitting next to you, but he's sick. Of course, he did what every crook in the history of crookdom is capable of, and that put on a neck brace, got into a wheelchair. You know, it's the weirdest thing is like as soon as you arrest someone, they become unbelievably sick and they can't walk and they can't speak. And they I call it the Shabir Sheikh syndrome. You know, everything, they're going to die. And then, of course, nothing happens. But this guy, they wheeled him past us then in the airport and took him off to court on Saturday, where he appeared for the first time. I don't know if he's going to be a state witness and they've got some kind of a deal with him, or whether they're actually going to prosecute him. But I suppose we'll see when we get there. So we started this morning with the studio like not working properly. There's something going on over there. And it's not any of the producer's fault. So we don't have to get keys from somebody, it's a whole thing, and they're trying to sort that out. So I thought I'd just start anyway, so we can get going this morning. I see the comment section is alive and well. Lomas Sapus says propaganda. Yeah, I don't know. By the way, I'm not even sure why this guy is the perfect key person to start, you know, prosecuting people within Eskom. Surely the very worst crooks are still in South Africa, or am I being really naive? I don't know. Doubt any of the Guptas will be wheeled into South Africa in a wheelchair. I think the only way that you'll get the Guptas into this country is in a body bag, frankly. But I'm not sure. So I'm speaking, but I'm frozen. Your voice is making sounds, but your face is barely moving. Garrett says Bitcoin Boot. We got an internet problem as well. Ah, for fuck's sake. That too. Jesus, this is the most frustrating way to start a show I could ever imagine. I should have just stayed at home. Tomorrow is a public holiday, so there won't be any show tomorrow, but there wasn't going to be anyway. So whoop-dee-doo on that front. We're trying to figure out what everybody is going to do for that public holiday, because it's so stupid when it's on a Tuesday. It always feels like, you know, what are you going to do? You can't. It's not like you can go away for the long weekend, especially not this cold one. Otherwise, you get stuck in Finrennan's Pass. Or worse. So I don't know where everybody's planning to go, if they're just going to stay at home, if people are just going to chill, whether they're going to do something fun on the Monday night. That's tonight. It's like a mini Friday, but it makes no sense. Anyway, we will try to get the internet side of things working here a little bit better too. Woke up, glad that I'm not P. Diddy, says She Is Lit. Yeah, we connected here. I just don't know if now I've got to swap over. So let's just see. All right, guys, I'm going to try and swap over here. I'm producing, I am presenting, and look, there's Leanne Moll. At least she's here as well. Better late than never. Let me just see if I can re-engineer this to go onto this network, rather. Wi-Fi, we want to go onto USB, right? All right, let's see if this is going better. Yeah, XR says real network not working out for you. G, never had these problems before. That's not true. James is sabotaging the show because he wasn't allowed inside Sophia. Oh, look, there's me.
I'm reporting to you live from a nearby office.
How are you? How was your weekend? Did you stay warm?
Yes. Oh, I didn't care that it was cold. Who cared? Well, I mean, besides the people who were really, really badly affected.
Jesus, how horrible must that have been?
Well, I mean, you know, we always say we won't talk about the weather, but in this case.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
I'm just resetting my mic levels. They said I was sounding a bit soft. All right, now we're all good. Okay, Busted Sunny says spoke too soon. I think that's about our technical issues this morning. They are trying to figure it out. This is actually not the producer's fault. Now, She Is Lit said here, good morning, everybody. I woke up glad that I'm not P. Diddy. This is the most unbelievable story, right? I mean, there are a lot of people on the internet now who are saying, we should have known there were signs. Mm. P. Diddy's always dodgy. A whole lot of other stuff. I don't agree. I think, like, this is pretty wild. The things that were going on with P. Diddy and, like, underage girls and boys and all these celebrities. And now apparently Usher and Pink have deleted their Twitter accounts, their ex accounts.
Kim Kardashian, apparently all the photographs of him and P. Diddy.
Oh, wow. Kim Kardashian is apparently issuing all kinds of letters from her lawyers saying people must cease and desist with certain things. It seems like it's really a fucking disaster, not just for P. Yeah. Diddy, but like for all of Hollywood. What do you make of it?
No, I just think, you know, when these things do happen, it's decades after the fact, which is always scary because things have been going on under our noses all the time. But these people are caught out when they're probably already stopped doing what they were doing. These people are caught out in the late years of their lives. I mean, I'm glad they're being caught out, but is it stopping anyone else from doing the same?
Well, it seems to me like Hollywood is really full of all the deviants we thought it was, right? I mean, that's the big problem here, is that all of these Hollywood stars that, I don't know, I mean, we grew up looking up to stars, you know? They weren't as easy to reach. They weren't as fame wasn't as cheap as it is now. Let me put it that way.
No, yeah.
So you've got, you know, when we were growing up, these movie stars and these rappers and these singers and these actors, they were amazingly out of reach. They were far and away, like these, you know, incredible personalities, these big names. They're the kind of people, if you met them once in your life, you were like, oh my God, I met this person. I mean, I dined out on meeting Jack Nicholson for like 20 years. It was the most exciting thing that happened to me when it comes to brushing with celebrities. And yet you kind of had this feeling, because people who are not rich and famous like to pull down people who are. And you think, well, maybe this is bullshit, but people were saying, oh no, these Hollywood people are all just, they're basically degenerates. You know, they're hedonists, they drink, they take drugs, they have these sex parties. They're just like, they don't live like the rest of us. They don't do normal stuff. And you would see telltale signs of it with the marriages breaking up, and you'd see people who had these very unhappy personal lives. Their kids were always a disaster. And you think, well, that doesn't come from nowhere. And it's not just because their parents work hard. People's parents have worked hard throughout the world and doing much less glamorous work than being on a movie set. You know, so you'd think, well, why are these kids such a disaster? Why are these people living these like really, really debauched lives? What kind of world is this? And now it's starting to all leak out. You know, Epstein was the first one, and now you got this thing with Diddy. You kind of wonder.
It started with Bill Cosby, didn't it, really?
Oh, yeah. Bill Cosby, too.
And Harvey Weinstein.
Yep. Yeah, maybe Harvey Weinstein was the damn wall breaking.
Yeah, but it's crazy how these people are coming across as either, as you say, debauched and out of control and just really horrible people, or they're coming out as super woke. There's like no real in between. And the ones that are coming out as super woke are ending up being slammed just as much as the others. You know, I was thinking this morning, driving here, listening to Taylor Swift, how her coming out against Trump has been just as horrible. Being woke or being debauched, you're in the public eye after all. You may not have chosen initially, but you've kept on with this life where everyone's going to see every tiny thing. It just makes you think about how much of this stuff is going on with people who aren't famous.
I don't think anyone cares about people who are not famous. I think we care more about these people because they've projected themselves to be better than us. So we have expectations that they are. It might not stop people, but it will definitely make them think three times. Stars always thought of themselves as untouchable. This is Dirk's point, and I think I agree. Pun intended, the public reinforced these things for a long time. And I like Bastani's comment earlier. She said, it's curtains for celebrities. They've lost their sparkle. No one cares about them anymore.
I think that happened as soon as, I think, you know, we were still at 5FM when YouTube became really, really popular. And you mentioned that now everybody was a star. Everybody had a platform. That's one of the things, is that are these people really famous? Who knows?
Well, if anybody's joining us now and you're a little bit confused as to the backgrounds that Leanne and I have, because not our houses, it's not the normal set, we're trying to figure out some problem with the power settings in the studio. So the producers are running around like mad animals trying to figure out what's going on. And that's why we're not in the usual setting. But there's so much to talk about this morning. There's so much to get into. I love this, by the way. Isn't this the weirdest thing of all? So they were in Diddy's house. Look at this. They found, let me just take the comment away here, 784 dildos in his home. 784 dildos. Who the fuck needs all of those?
I need to do a calculation quickly.
That's a lot.
Wait, I'm working out. Wait, 784.
Show us your maths. Show us your work. Like your teachers would always go, show us your work. What are you trying to do?
Well, 784 divided by 2, because let's face it, where are the places you can put a dildo?
Well,
how many places are there?
I'm figuring on a woman, 5, and I'll explain why. No, hang on. Mouth, vagina.
You wouldn't put a dildo in there necessarily.
Leanne, let me finish, okay? You're always interrupting me when I'm talking about dildos. Okay, just listen. On a woman, mouth, ass, vagina, and 2 hands.
I'm so glad. There was another part I'm so glad you didn't mention, because that would be extremely painful.
What was the other one?
Well, the equivalent of the urethra.
Jesus, Leanne, I don't think you get a dildo in there.
No, exactly, and that's why I was hoping you weren't going to mention that one. Okay, but let's say
But with Diddy, I mean, so he was dodgy as hell. So we can't tell whether he was also into the guys or just the girls. With guys, you got what? You know, two places to put a dildo only. Also the hands.
Think of the most pleasurable parts of your body to put a dildo in, right?
Yeah. This was not a pleasant thing. Most of these people were there against their will. Diddy had them drugged. It sounds dodgy as hell. I don't think this was a fun occasion for everyone. Like, oh, let's do what's the most fun.
Okay, I listened to your theory. Now you can listen to mine.
All right.
So let's say there are two parts on each person. Not parts. I don't want to talk about parts. Parts.
Holes.
Let's say, yes, okay. Let's say two parts, right? One in some part and one in the other per person.
Oh, my God. Where are you going? Catholic school.
Out of those 700-odd dildos, you're going to need 392 people there at once to use two. So how big were these parties?
That was
and everyone would have to have them inserted at the same time.
I don't know, but that sounds to me like a lot, okay? And I think that Diddy needs to account for this. I want to hear the testimony when he goes, yeah, we kept 784 dildos. I'll tell you why. I want to hear that part of the testimony. That's what I'm here for. What a freak. And they were called freak-offs, these parties, right? I see lots of really disgusting and disturbing comments here. Let's see this quickly. I heard it's 1,000 dildos. I guess some anuses are more than others. No, it wasn't quite 1,000, but I mean, that's a lot, right? Diddy's going to get Epstein. Well, some of the people are saying that because he's in prison already, he's in jail now, that he's going to squeal because he's a weak celebrity, right? They're not used to any kind of hardship. And even though he sings a tough game in his rap songs, that Diddy's not the kind of guy who will respond well to pressure, and that he might crack, and then he'll start naming and shaming everyone else. So, you know, this could get very ugly. That's why so many people in Hollywood are running for the hills.
Well, the Queen isn't around anymore, and wasn't she the one who ordered Epstein's death?
I think it was Hillary Clinton. So, Anton wants to know, Gareth, you're famous. Did you ever crack an invite? I was never invited to a Diddy party, and you know it would have annoyed me 10 years ago. But now I'm kind of pleased. I'm like, thank God.
I need to speak to my aunt.
Oh, why did she go?
Well, it was her 40th birthday 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and she's very, very well to do, very much intertwined with the stars, lives all over the world. And her 40th birthday, I called her to wish her. And I said, what are you doing today? And she said, oh, I'm on P. Diddy's yacht. We're having a party.
Oh God. Your poor aunt. So all right.
I think I need to speak to her. There might be some things we could learn.
Corroborate some evidence.
Well, no, I mean, she would never have been involved in that kind of thing. But, yeah,
well,
I wonder what she thinks of this now. Oh, no, I'm 100% sure.
You never know, eh? Your dodgy aunt.
Come on.
I don't know. I mean, apparently, Fikile Mbalula has got some pictures with P. Diddy. I don't know which other South African celebrities, but I'm sure there are a few. I don't know. Anyway, very exciting. I mean, this is all happening in front of our very eyes. And let's see if Hillary can get into the jail and kill him. Because she did that with Epstein. Justin,
do you really believe that?
Justin Bieber's song lyrics about his P. Diddy treatment are creepy. Well, I also see all these people using Justin Bieber and Usher as the poster boys for like grooming, effectively. That these people were grooming Usher when he was little. He was like put into P. Diddy's care when he was 15 or something. And Bieber was also, there was this weird like video that's been circulating about how Justin Bieber he spent the weekend at P. Diddy's, and it just seemed like an inappropriate thing for this kid to be at this, you know, rapper's house. And anyway, the whole thing's very weird. 1,000 bottles of lube and baby oil apparently was found, as well as the dildos. Jesus.
That's not enough for the, oh no, that would be enough. Let's think.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
He probably just got given this stuff by a, oh, can you imagine if corporates were involved, if they knew and they were dropping off dildos and lube and, oh.
I don't know. is right.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to change subject for a second. Have you been to Doha Airport?
No, never.
Okay, first time I've been there.
Yes.
And they've got an indoor forest. I mean, it's fake. Everything in the UAE, in Qatar, in Bahrain, in all of those countries, it's all fake. Okay, so none of it's real. And obviously, you know, if you were outside, and if you did go outside, we did on the night we were headed back because we had a long layover. So we went into the souk. You know what a souk is?
Remind me. I've heard of it.
Market. It's a market.
Yes, that's right.
That's where So in the souk, there's this brilliant restaurant that we went to. I mean, it's amazing. I'll show you some pictures later on, but I can't do 1,000 things at once. And if I'm loading pictures, I'm not going to be able to concentrate because I'm a man. We stayed overnight. Well, we didn't stay overnight. We had like 6 or 7 hours between flights. So they arranged for us to go and have dinner in the souk at this beautiful restaurant. The food was amazing. It was just lovely. But we were in a bit of a hurry because we had to get back to the airport to check in before the South African flight. Anyway, they have in the airport this amazing kind of atrium, which is huge, by the way. It's bigger than like the main arrivals hall of OR Tambo. And it's got all these fake trees with fake leaves and fake birds and like forest sounds and fake grass and everything. And people literally like camp out under these trees to get a feeling of not being in an airport, because it's the, I mean, who wants to be in an airport, right? Doesn't matter how much you have to distract you. You go from shop to shop. If you've got 3 or 4 hours to wait, you go from shop to shop until you're just overdone on the shopping. You can't do any of that. Eventually you just need something to do. So I thought it was quite clever that they built this whole forest in the middle of this airport. Very clever.
Doesn't it have this like waterfall as the center? I've seen people.
Right. I think you're thinking of Singapore, which is the only other airport that has anything like this. I've never been to Singapore Airport, but apparently it's absolutely amazing. And this one is it's between these two. People always say, you know, the two biggest, greatest airports in terms of just being, you know, really thoughtful and clever about doing new things and keeping people entertained are Doha and Singapore. And they both have these for us. So I don't know who did it first, but I've only seen the one. Anyway.
Well, that's quite an experience. I mean, there are some airports that are really, truly shitty that you just don't want to be in.
Well, it just kind of made me think how crap our airports are. And I don't want to like climb all over South Africa, because we're actually going through a bit of a positive, optimistic country moment right now. And I don't want to spoil that. But, you know, OR Tambo's just really needs a lot of work. They need to put in some effort there. The place looks shit. I feel like we don't actually know what to do to improve our airport. So we're just doing the same old, and I don't think anyone's investing any money. They're trying to make some money out of it, but we don't even have the capacity to put more planes through there. I mean, I looked at the queues when we landed back here on Friday morning, and they were substantial. I mean, it was very frustrating, and I felt very sorry for people who had to wait for, you know, if you didn't have a South African passport, for example, that was an even longer queue. And I'm thinking, this is not how you treat visitors. We should have that sorted out. So I don't know who, if it's the Home Affairs people that need to have their hands smacked by somebody, but we've got a lot of work to do to make people feel a little bit more at home when they come to South Africa, a little more welcome.
And yeah, there are things that don't have to cost billions that we could do. Because I mean, remember, we are still in a bit of a survival phase. The C word, which we don't like to mention, set us back. And in terms of development, there's not a lot of money to put towards that Also because
just in case we, I don't want the, yes, the C word to be something worse than this, but it is corruption, right?
It was COVID that I was thinking of.
There's another C word.
I'm realizing now. we're still in a bit of a survival phase, so we couldn't spend billions on an airport, but there's small things that you can do. You know, I mean, I'm not going to think of them now, but if I had to, there would be.
I am asked a couple of questions here that I must answer in the comments section, and then we must move on to some other stuff. First of all, this is funny, from Congo Chris. He says, it was very funny watching you and Ben sitting in the street drinking beers. Yeah, we were trying to be Bulgarian. So we tried to look sad, kind of just sit down on the sidewalk, on the pavement, on the curb of the road with like a beer. I bought an energy drink called Hell, H-E-L-L. No, really. And it was fucking strong. I mean, I didn't get to sleep that night at all. No, it's very bad. And then Rebellious Roots said, did you buy any cool things? What's the coolest thing that you saw or brought home? So I brought home, there were two or three things that I really thought were worthwhile. The one was, remember there was that sword shop. I don't think it was during our show on Monday last week. It was on Wednesday. Mm. At the resort place that we were staying at on the last little bit of the tour. And there were a bunch of swords there. And I bought a sword, which was magnificent. It's like the blade is stainless steel, the handle is brass, and then there's even some tin on it as well. So it's like three kinds of metal. And it's beautifully put together. And we actually met the guy.
Did you bring that home with you?
Yeah. So you check it in, and it goes into the hold, and then it goes all the way through. But you have to check it in as fragile or as oddly shaped baggage or whatever. And as because it's not sharpened, you know, you can't buy a sharp sword and check that in. But I bought one that had a dull edge, and they were okay with it.
So how did – what – you can't bring a sharp. What if you bought a new sword that was sharp?
Well, these ones you can. Well, I suppose you can. I don't know. I wasn't going to take the chance. But these are decorative, so you can have them sharpened because it's a real sword. So I can have it sharpened here in South Africa by somebody. But why would I? I'm not going to war with it. It's really, it's just something nice to have, and it's heavy. It's like 2.5 kilos. It's substantial. And it's very, very cool. So that's the only thing that I bought that was probably interesting and worthwhile. Raven says, Singapore has real plants and the waterfall. There's even a butterfly sanctuary. Beautiful sunflowers on the roof. That's magnificent. Okay, so I think probably Singapore wins then, just because it's real.
Yeah, I think it's like a central waterfall. Looks like a centrifuge coming out from the ceiling or the sky.
Yeah, no, Singapore is a different universe. I do get the feeling, though, in going into Doha, and I've been into Dubai, I haven't been to Abu Dhabi, but Doha is beautifully put together. You can see someone was given the job of making it not only functional and very kind of first world, very 2024, you know, it was probably a lot of it had to do with the World Cup that they had there, but you know, the streetlights are palm trees. They're palm fronds. Mm-hmm. And they've gone to the trouble of making big public spaces, which are clean. I mean, I know Qatar is full of basically slave labor. You know, the indentured servitude that people enter into either willingly or not so willingly to make the place run is not great from a human rights point of view. But man, does that place work. And it's a snapshot of, and I can understand why so many South Africans have moved to the UAE or to Qatar or Bahrain or whatever. It does feel like you're living in the future. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I've never been massively complimentary about that part of the world because I do think a lot of it is fake. But man, does it work, and is it good looking, and have they spent money on creating cities that are better than anything I've seen in America, better than anything I've seen in Africa, better than everything I've seen in Europe. If you're thinking about modern cities, those should be your template. And obviously Singapore, but I haven't been there, so I can't speak with any certainty about that stuff.
Well, I mean, there are not many modern cities in Europe because there were cities there to start with, which are centuries old. But do you not think it has something to do with having an open space to start from scratch on in terms of your city planning and, you know, you there's no infrastructure
to develop it yourself. Yeah, you don't have to work too hard to, you know, preserve or protect or incorporate stuff that's already there, because there wasn't anything there. It was basically, you know, in the 70s, there was absolutely fuck all. It was just sand. So, yeah, that helps. But very, very impressive. And I've got to give credit where it's due. I think that the rest of the world can take a couple of lessons from the way that these cities are run and established and laid out. Beautifully done. Durban Airport supports one international flight a day. Oh, Tambo's spur is a great asset. At King Shaka, we waited 45 minutes and kept freezing. In Cape Town, there are self-scanning machines for SA citizens. Listen, we've just got to get fucking with it now. I'm really tired of our country being the laughing stock where we, you know, everything you expect, African time and systems down and all that shit. I don't want that to happen anymore. We don't have an excuse. We've got to compete with the rest of the world, which means we have to get our stuff working. Come on.
Mm. Yeah. No, I hear you. I had the privilege of attending a really cool conference. Was it last week? Yeah. Leadership SA. And a lot of the talk is about the future and where we're going. But I tell you what, in terms of, and this was very much marketing related, marketing slanted, and certainly the sessions that I attended. But in terms of that part of the world, we really are quite far ahead. I was excited to see that one of the VR, we do all of them. We do VR, AR, IR, BQ, TC.
But, I don't know what any of that. You lost me after AI.
One of the VR or virtual reality experiences that the company I work with created for one of our clients appeared without warning on the screen while I was in the audience as an example, a prime example of how to use virtual reality in you know, promoting a brand. And we were compared a lot to other countries and what other countries are doing. And in terms of that, we really are at the top of our game. We're doing amazingly with what we have. So yeah, it just depends on what you're looking at. But in terms of infrastructure, not so good at the moment. Not feeling happy about that.
Judith says, "Our Tambo looks like a typical shopping mall, especially after you've gone through immigration. I would not recommend change. In the floors, they're horrible. The floors. Well, my other problem with OR Tambo is it just shuts down at 11 o'clock at night. Like, all those shops close. And if you happen to have a flight at midnight, it's like walking in a ghost town, if you've ever done that. And also, I don't think that it's geared up to maximally make use of all these different airlines that could be flying into South Africa. We've got to get our shit together, you know? Like, really, that's not even a negotiable. I did something cool this weekend, got back on Friday, and then on Saturday night, I went to a 90th birthday.
Ooh.
Yes.
Did you party all night?
No, I was among the first to leave, but only because it was...
You were.
Yeah. That's how old
that's
I am.
Shameful.
I was among the first to leave a 90-year-old's birthday party. No, it was my oldest friend in years, Kate Turkington. It was her 90th birthday.
All right.
She is a phenomenal human being. I mean, I just don't know how to, you know, I look at her at 90 years old and I think that's like double my age. And she's just, she has so much energy. She's sharp. She is physically active. She still travels the world. She was in Patagonia this year. She's got such a lust for life. And I have so much respect and admiration for her.
That's amazing.
She asked a bunch of us to make little speeches. But she was so funny. She made a speech at the end of it, which was just absolutely hilarious. She's very clever. She's very funny. She's such an asset. I said in my speech, I'm very proud to be alive in the time of Kate, because she's setting an example to everyone else. You know, you get hit people who are already old and useless by the age of like 40, 50.
Yeah, or just have this old mindset.
Yeah.
I mean, like Ben's been 40 since he was 11.
Listen, I'll give Ben credit, because Ben was actually a really – I've never traveled with Ben before. He was fun to travel with, because we walked around. We did things. We weren't just sitting like drinking beers. It was
– yeah.
It was proper travel. We like walked around Sofia, went into cathedrals, walked across this kind of bridge to this lake, to this other side of the place where there was a golf course. Like, we did cool things. Like, I wouldn't have done that if it was with someone who, I don't know, they complain about
wanted to relax.
I don't want to walk. I'm tired. This is very far. Like, he wasn't moaning about any of that shit, and he was lots of fun to be with. So I'm actually, I will give Ben credit. At 7 o'clock, I'll play you two quick videos. They're about a minute and a half each, so altogether 3 minutes. It's not long, but that should give you some insight into the trip. He put together these little kind of vignettes of what we got up to. So it was really cool. And yes, you're right. Ben is an old man, but some people, it doesn't matter how many years they've been on Earth, they're just fun. That's Kate's thing. Mm. She's fun.
Lovely to that's be around. Amazing. I mean, imagine, people, like you say, she's double our age. Imagine being told now that you were going to live for as many years as you'd already been alive, but you'd be starting off with such a solid base already. I mean, there's like no limit to that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it shows you also you can obviously, you know, good health notwithstanding, because you don't always have a say in that. Some people just are very unfortunate in that respect. They are not healthy. Maybe their mental faculties start to decline very suddenly. You know, it's not always easy to say, oh, well, she's 90. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
somebody asked in the questions here, does Kate have some tips on how to have a good life? Well, people are always asking her this, and she didn't really say, well, here are my tips, but she started off her speech by saying the most important thing to her is to surround herself with clever, funny, interesting, fun people. And I don't want to paraphrase her, because I recorded the first kind of 9 minutes of her speech, and it was longer than that, but my arm just couldn't stay up for that long. But she was so complimentary about everyone else. You know, she was talking about everybody else. She was talking about her kids, her grandchildren, her friends. She's the sort of person who I think it's more about connections, and it's more about...
I mean, this is exactly what we spoke about last week, where we said the key to happiness is, what was the word? Was it connections? Connecting exactly with people.
Right. Yeah. So she bears that out. So therefore, it's got to be true. There's an actual example, somebody who's living that right now. And then there's the research that they've done, which kind of bears the same overall conclusion.
Yeah.
But it says, my grandfather is 92. The only thing holding him back is his eyesight. Yeah. Something goes at some point.
Wow.
Right? And you either decide, well, this is how I'm going to live, or you decide I'm going to die. And hopefully it's the former, not the latter. Gareth, we must first get rid of the comrades and chiefs who have their dirty past and borrow looking like hands all over our shit in this country. Dumisani, you're very angry for a Monday morning. Just calm down, all right? Calm down. Bitcoin Butt says the best thing to do in Eastern Europe is to drink local beer and walk around. Probably. Wait, we've got an update from James. What's happening? You broke in.
We did break in.
I gave them permission to break into the room that they didn't have a key for. Did you kick it down?
We did.
You kicked it. Nice. Good.
We're going to go set up.
All right.
Should be able to.
All right. Very good. That's excellent. Isn't that great news? They've broken in.
Does that mean that we're moving over? We can be together again at last.
Yeah. They had to break into a room where the distribution board is so that they could switch.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, because they can't find a guy with a key at this time of the morning. You know, these are the little things that you don't want to deal with first thing on a Monday morning. That's why I say
it's so strange.
It's not the fault of the producers.
I worked from home on Friday thinking, because I needed, you know, when you need a good few blocks of time to do certain tasks. So I said, no, look, I need to work from home. The office is too distracting. It's a wonderful, creative environment. But I need some blocks of time, like a 4-hour block and a 4-hour block. And I clean forgot what it was like working from home. The internet wouldn't connect. The cat vomited on the floor. A rain spider. I had to fight with the rain spider. I had to move my car because it was in the way. The doorbell kept ringing. I was like, you know what? I didn't get my blocks.
It's horrible. I tell you another thing, this whole working from home thing, that was the aberration. That was weird. It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be working from home. It's good to have the office and then to have your house to go to. And people who think that it's great to just keep working from home, good luck to you. I don't think any companies are going to hire people who do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but also there's the wanting to work from home out of pure laziness. This was wanting to work so that I could work. That hardly happened. And the thing is, as well, is that everyone who you usually can just spin your chair around and chat to, you now have to WhatsApp or call, and it just drags everything out.
You know, we've got to get to Dr. Hanan. He's going to be joining us in a short while. Yeah. I'm going to talk to him about a question that one of our listeners sent in about seasonal depression, which is something I think a lot of people are talking about. We discussed this on the show on Wednesday from Bulgaria, where I said it's 9 months and people get to a point in September where they're just tired. They're just tired. It's been a long year. It's been a difficult year. This weird weather that we've had over this weekend, for a lot of people, it's like, oh God, we were just getting into the feeling of being, you know, warm and summery, and then this happens. So people are looking for a break. And tomorrow, thank God, is a public holiday. So if you are lucky enough to be able to take tomorrow off and chill, then good for you. You're allowed to. We give you our blessing. Go ahead and enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have frowned upon someone wanting to take today off and just have a bit of a long weekend. And, you know, you people are planning already into 2025. And it feels exhausting because you've still got Christmas to go. Yeah, it's enough. It's like, when will it stop?
Well, I don't know. This is my favorite time of the year, so I don't have seasonal depression, but maybe Dr. Hanan can help us with that. I do want to quickly answer a question here because this is really cool. Max says, what TV show did Kate Turkington do in the early 80s? I remember my gran loving her. So Kate was actually on the BBC in the 1960s. I mean, she's 90, okay?
Wow.
In the 60s, she was on BBC TV. She was the first person on television ever to wear a miniskirt.
Wow.
And she had white leather boots that came up to above her knees. And that was very, very,
provocative.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely wonderful woman. And I'm so proud to know her. She really is something else. Okay. Let us talk to Dr. Hanan. This is what we do on a Monday. Thank God it's the only opportunity we get to clear our heads and be sensible and make sense of the world. He is the foremost and most brilliant psychologist, which is why we use him. He wouldn't say that, but I can say it. And we're lucky enough to get to spend a couple of minutes with him on a Monday. So I can't think of a better way to start our week. Here he is, Dr. Hanan Bushkin. How are you, Doc?
Well, how are you? How was your trip, Gareth?
Fantastic. I loved it. And I don't think I'll go to Bulgaria again, but it was really interesting. It was a place I couldn't have expected on my itinerary, you know? So I think that was quite cool.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Absolutely. So, okay, today we've got this very miserable email from somebody. Hi, Dr. Hanan. I struggle with seasonal depression, and it can become quite overwhelming in the winter. How do I drive myself to stay active socially and physically during this time? So can you help this person?
Sure. So
Gareth's sure not going to.
So sad, seasonal affective disorder affects approximately 5% of the population. And it's the reason why we call it seasonal affective disorder or depression is because it affects you in a particular time of the year. So usually it's between, usually it's during the winter season, but believe it or not, it could also happen in the summer season. And the reason why it affects people is because of the social isolation and the fact that your body is feeling different. People must understand depression is heavily linked to your physiological state. If you don't look after your diet, it will affect your body. If you don't look after your exercise, it will affect your body. If you don't look after your sleep, it will affect your body. If you don't get enough sunlight, it will affect your body. So what happens during winter, because, and by the way, the greatest effect on your body is lack of social engagement or social interaction. So we call it a body budget. You know the Quinn theory? If people, the right people, will add value, will add coins to you, will make you physiologically regulated, and the wrong people will steal coins away from you, will make you feel physiologically dysregulated. So we want to, and during winter, people, because they isolate themselves, they don't get one to engage with people, they don't get to go out, they don't get to socialize, they don't get the vitamin D, their sleep might be affected, and the body just feels not nice, in inverted commas. So the way we deal with it is we get your body regulated again. Get good sleep, get good diet, get good exercise, start engaging and participating with people that care for you, people that physiologically regulate you, have family engagements, have family meetings, have family arrangements, friends, colleagues, but overcompensate with what you usually lack during winter and act as though you are in an engaging summer, let's call it vibe, and connect and participate in life. That's the way we deal with it.
So that Don Kitty says that voice is going to make people write in for sure, Gareth. So, okay, it sounds like, and Azalea says it sounds like it was made up. It wasn't made up. But I'm confused because this is usually a condition that affects people in like Scandinavia where they don't get enough sun. And we know that one of the best things, I was listening to Andrew Huberman the other day, who was talking about how you wake up in the morning and feel energetic. And, you know, there are lots of people who are studying this stuff and who are genuine experts. And then there are a bunch of hacks as well who try to come up with, you know, tips that will make their podcast successful. But he said one of the four things that you've got to do if you want to start your day right and you want to feel energetic and get a lot done that day and, you know, feel like you're a purposeful creature is to get up and look not directly at the sun, but get some sunlight in your eyes, because we know chemical processes start to happen that affect your circadian rhythms and that get you moving, that get your brain working, that release the right chemicals in your brain. Adenosine, I think it is the chemical. It's produced when you are tired. And if you don't sleep enough, you can't reduce the amount of adenosine that's in the system. So you have to, one of the best ways to do that is to actually get a full night's sleep, obviously, and make sure that you wake up when you're not tired anymore. So you must allow your body to just kind of wake up. Now, most of us don't have the luxury of doing that. I think people have alarm clocks. We have things to do, people to see, places to go. I'm not going to sit here and moan about the fact that I got 2 hours of sleep last night. But there are other things that people can do. Like you can fill your day with appointments and meetings and important things that you want to do. You can make little to-do lists so that you actually have just stuff to keep you busy. Then you don't have time to think about being depressed.
All right. So there are a couple of sleep hacks that you can include and incorporate in your life. Obviously, we want to get sufficient amount of sleep, because sleep is the number one factor that will make you feel mentally unwell, or the lack of sleep. So the first thing we do is we regulate your sleep. Lack of sleep is responsible, never mind for a shorter life. It will decrease the value of your life. It will create anxiety, depression, insecurity, frustration, anger, try to speak to somebody that hasn't slept for 3 nights, see what mood they're in. They actually, the monster comes out of them. So they start speaking gibberish. People can't add 1 plus 1. So sleep is a very important factor in regulating your emotional state. As I said, diet is one of them. Exercise is another one. Huberman highly recommends getting some vitamin D sunlight. Morning sunrise, looking at into the sunrise for a couple of seconds is also very effective because it regulates your circadian rhythm. But what people don't understand is two other things. Number one is people, but the right people, the people that add value to your life that I've mentioned. And to your point, Gareth, people do not value being busy with productive things. Right. They see it as stressful, in inverted commas, but let me tell you what's more stressful. What's more stressful is doing absolutely nothing and falling into a deep depression. The definition, at the bottom line, the definition of depression is when you're standing still and feel stuck in doing nothing. So the moment you're standing still and feeling stuck in doing nothing, you will get into your head, and that is when you'll feel anxious and you'll feel depressed and you'll feel stuck. You want to move forward, but you want to move forward towards things that are meaningful and valuable to you, things that create value and purpose in your life. So sit down and think about, what do I want to create for my career? What do I want to create for my financial security? What do I want to create for my relationships? What do I want to create for my health? Mm-hmm. The year is coming to a close, and this is a great time to reflect. What do I want to create before the year closes? And don't wait till January. Like, we don't wait till Monday. We start now. And if you're able to move forward in all those aspects, your career, financial security, your relationships, and your health, you will be looking forward. I call this, by the way, and I think this will be really meaningful to everybody listening. I call this the chin down versus the chin up approach. The chin down approach is looking down and going, why do I feel this way? Why me? Victim, victim, victim. The chin up approach is, what can I do about it to make my life better? So look up, look forward, create meaning, create purpose. Don't look down and ask yourself why and how and who. Look forward and create a greater version of yourself every single day.
I love that. I want to go to some comments, though, because I don't want to miss out on these before we let you go. That Don Kitty says, summer in the UAE has a bad effect on, probably, says, has a bad effect on some people. It's too hot to even go outside, so you stay indoors and remain isolated. Isolation's a killer, right, Doc? I mean, that's a very real problem, because Charlene says, I totally get what the doc is saying. I isolate because I've been single for so long. If I do go out, I get hit on, so I avoid socializing, and it is affecting me.
Yeah, it's a great point. So to the first comment, as I said, seasonal affective disorder can affect people in summer too because of that reason. The moment it's too hot, one, your body feels bothered, your body feels not nice, and that can affect your mood. And two, if it's too hot, you don't socialize. You stay indoors and you isolate yourself, and then you're forced to do the chin down approach. Why me, why me, why me, which is a great way to feel anxious and depressed. To the second, what was the second comment? Just remind me.
She doesn't want to go out because she gets hit on all the time. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry I had your, you know, I wish I had your problems. Like, I wish I was so pretty and so hot that I got hit on all the time, Charlene. Come here with your moaning and whining. You know what? How would you like to be ugly? And then no one will talk to you when you go out. Have a hunchback and a club foot, and you slur and you slobber. Come on. Charlene, yeah, stop complaining.
Yeah, listen, it's a good problem to have. But for her, I would recommend that she goes out not to those environments where she feels that she doesn't fit in, or she feels that she's getting negative feedback, or let's call it those cheap environments where she's getting hit on in ways that don't regulate or don't make her feel nice. So create those small engagements. You don't have to go out and create these big circus events. You can create small engagements that just regulate you with good people.
All right, awesome. I like it. And then she says, thanks, Gareth. Well, you know what? I think there are also, I do understand, it must be very irritating. I've got a friend, she also gets hit on all the time. So she just doesn't have male friends. She's got a handful of people that she sees, and she just doesn't go out anymore. She'd rather just be around us because we're not going to like terrorize her. And I think it must be, listen, without being horrible about it, Charlene, I do think it's a kind of burden to bear to have guys hitting on you the whole time. It must be horrible. But at the same time, yeah. I think the alternative is even worse. Imagine people going, oh, you're so ugly, and avoiding you as a result.
Yeah. And listen, and people take it for granted. They think it like it's a small thing or insignificant thing. But when you get hit on in a cheap way, it actually makes you feel awful about yourself.
Yeah.
This is not the, hey, this is who I am. What's your name? Can we grab a drink, or, you know, start having interesting intellectual philosophical conversations? These are maybe drunk people that make you feel like a piece of object as opposed to a real person. It's not nice.
Look at this. Let's just go look at what Leanne's doing. She's in the studio getting ready. Look at this. Look, she doesn't know we can see her. Look at her sitting there. Look,
that's,
she doesn't
the chin down approach. That's the chin down approach.
Look at her just sitting there. She doesn't know that we've put her on screen.
That's
I love it. Great. All right. Doc, we will see you on Monday next week.
See you next week.
Holiday tomorrow.
Same to you.
And for all those people who are feeling a little bit down, Graham says here, join a running club as an example. Like-minded people don't see these situations as a speed dating session. You can find stuff to fill up your day. Find meaningful stuff that you love. Really, it's not that hard. Join a club that does, I don't know, painting. It's 100%. Stuff. Everybody's interested in something. Find the thing that you're interested in. Go and join a club. They're people who fix 100%. Cars, you know, whatever you want to do. All right. Thanks, Doc. Have a lovely
week. All right, guys. See you. You too. Bye, guys.
Bye. All right. So, look, there's Leanne sitting in the studio. She's on her phone, minding her time. All right. Well, we've got to get onto it. Luckily, the studio is up and running. Well done to James and to Flex, who broke in. Who kicked the door?
Flex
kicked the door. Did you film it?
I didn't.
Ah, you stupid idiot. You know we're in the business of content creation. You should film these things. What a moron. Now, that's the only time I'm going to climb into you this morning. Jesus. All right, we will be back in a moment. Hit those ads and we'll come back with the studio and everything working.